The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Brian Ortega, spin, boom! Oh,
for all you counting me out, learn to count, motherfuckers.
Brian T-City Ortega!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous! Listen to me, we're at it!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Well, I mean, we're starting here. I guess we have to start with, before we, you know, let's start the main event, which of course you picked correctly and I picked incorrectly.
Yeah, you and Dean Thomas, so don't, you're not alone. You're not alone in your co-main or your main picks.
Our Dean Thomas, blunders.
He shares your pain and your shame.
Our folly.
There's no shame. No shame at all. Justin's a gamer, but holy shit, what could you say about Habib, man? He is just he's one of the only guys ever in this sport to go out on top like that. You know, imagine if Fedor done that at a certain point in his career. You know what I mean?
But why is he going out? Like, I know he said he had like family reasons and stuff.
Yeah.
But he was indicating that if Connor or Dustin wanted to fight him next, he said he would be open to fighting them next.
After the fight, I heard him say that he strangled both of them. Basically, I heard him say that he strangled both of them. So that doesn't really excite him.
Oh.
Listen, a lot of things, he said he had a conversation with his mother. And that she didn't, want him, fighting or without his father here on this earth. And that's a guy that's going to keep to his word. I feel he did walk away on top. And I think it's a beautiful thing. Don't tell me you didn't get a little choked up with him after the fight, getting a little upset in the...
Of course. It was very sad. It was
very emotional, but it was a beautiful thing. Because he had such a beautiful relationship with his father. Because even when you see his father and him wrestling around, like you see like the love, like you see with Habib trying to move him. And even though his father's like, he still knows all like the right way to distribute his weight. And so he's like, you see like the love and the, how much Habib admired his father.
Yeah.
Like with all their interactions, it wasn't just a trainer or it was such a, it was such a nice, nice, beautiful relationship. So when he was doing that, happened in the cage like that. Oh my God. Even Ray Longo's black heart, he was getting upset.
It's interesting though, this, because before the fight he was indicating that he would fight the winner of Conor Poirier, and he gave no indication that he was ready to walk away. Now I know guys like him do it for other reasons. Money is important, but that's certainly not everything for a guy like that.
Well,
but I'm wondering why.
How about that? I think that's the least factor in any of us with that.
But again, you also have kids and a family, and you want to be, But if he had a last fight, whether it was against Conor or against. There's a tremendous amount of money in a last fight, regardless of what happens.
Yeah, but that was his last fight, and that was a tremendous fight.
But if it was announced as the last fight, like if he said that he's doing one more fight, I'm just surprised he did that. That's all. I was surprised.
I think it was an amazing. I think if you're going, look at that. Let's just talk about the performance for a second.
Yeah.
I mean, wasn't even close. Incredible. It was total domination. And the biggest thing was, all right, could he keep him down? I don't know if he might have finished that arm lock. Who knows? He might have been rushing it because he knew he only had like a couple seconds to try to get it. But he took him down. And the fact that the confidence of Habib, now people were wondering if he could The bigger thing is if he could keep Justin Gaethje down because of his wrestling, and then it's folk style wrestling versus Habib's wrestling. Like, you know what I mean? They're all gassing this up. Talk about his wrestling credentials, and I even said nobody's ever held him down and beat him up ever.
Right. Sure. Of course.
He made it look easy.
It wasn't
like, all right, he's almost getting out. Not only did he have the confidence that he was going to do that, it takes a lot of confidence to be mounted and go for an arm lock on a guy like that. In the beginning, in the first, he's just going for an arm lock right away. He's not even just sitting there beating him up. He's not playing it safe. And then he mounted him again. He goes for a triangle on top, which is not, you don't see that all the time. You see it in transitions, but on top to go for that takes a lot of nuts. I mean, it's because you could lose position. There's a chance of losing position and being back on your feet. He did not care. He had that much confidence.
He looked good on his feet. And the one thing Gaethje was doing effectively was kicks. I mean, you could see that Habib's leg was definitely, there's a couple times he did that thing where he buckles you with kicks, but Gaethje was definitely, he looked different than I've ever seen him look in his face. And I'm not saying he was afraid of him, but maybe Habib stung him and was more effective with stand-up than Justin expected, but he seemed off, and not just because Habib was, he seemed like Habib got Justin's respect. There was something in his face where he didn't look the same as I've seen him look, even against guys like Eddie Alvarez or, you know, when he was in an all-out war.
You know, I know what that is, though. Know what that face is? It's Habib.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
No, I said maybe it was, I mean, Habib may have stung him a lot harder than he thought, or maybe when he got a hold of him for the first time, he realized, because he said he was strong, so he might have been stronger than he expected him to be. Like they said, until you feel it, until he gets a hold of you, you don't realize how strong he actually is.
But it's also just the pressure. I mean, he had him just,
yeah,
he was right in his face from the beginning, and he was relentless. That pressure, Justin was breathing heavy. It's not that he didn't get the win back within that minute, but he was, at the end of that first round, it was a woof.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit, this guy's coming after me. Then he survives the arm lock. I mean, took him down, mounted him. And then again in the second round, just beautiful transitions and just the control, the submission. How about when he gets the triangle? And what is Justin going to do? He's going to try to quit and rampage Jackson him like he did to Ricardo that time and knocked him out with a power bomb. And that's not an intelligent thing to do. And how do you take that away? The way Habib took that away. You grab right under the leg. So now instead of this guy power bombing you, he's got you a foot off the floor. So he can only slam you so much. And then when he does slam you, you go into the choke tighter. Habib had that was a masterful last fight versus a guy that's coming. Look at that. If you look at his fight, I mean, styles make fights.
Sure.
Obviously. But look, he's called the high life. I mean, look at Justin's fights.
Yeah.
He's a beast. And Habib, he did make it look easy.
Yeah.
Like he was, not that it was easy. He made it look easy. He's on that next level. You don't get to 29-0 by not being on that level. Hats off to him.
Yeah.
An amazing person. He'll always, I'm sure, be around in the sport. I'm sure he's going to produce more champions. And I was watching his video of him wrestling with that bear as a kid again. It just shows you what pussies kids are around here sometimes. Like, that bear was like biting his – I know he was biting his arm too. Like, I always didn't have – it probably didn't have like the teeth. But it was like, that he didn't give it. That was such a fun little. You ever watch that whole thing?
Oh, sure.
It's really fun because it's like back and forth, and it's so funny.
You know what's interesting? He's the third champion to vacate the belt in a really short period of time, and it's stunning to me. It was Cejudo, it's John, and Habib. It's really interesting to watch these guys walking away. Jones, just because he said he's going to move up to heavyweight, but this is the third guy to vacate a belt in, I mean, is it 6 months or 8 months? Whatever. I think Jones or Henry did it first. I don't remember which one of those guys did it first, but it just struck me. There's a lot of guys doing that, and I don't know exactly why. Habib had seemed like he had a real family reason, but it seemed to be something that I never saw before. And now there's three guys doing it in a short period of time.
I mean, Habib's just a different situation altogether. But by the way, John Jones never lost either. I mean, you know, he might have lost rounds here and there, but he never lost. Like, I mean, they were talking about how many rounds did Habib ever lose? Like, I don't know.
I don't know.
Questionable how many. He might have been.
Maybe the third round against Connor. Is that the one or second round? Maybe.
Listen, all out stud, great role model, fantastic person all around, athlete, fighter. person. I'm happy for him. You know, that was a beautiful fight. And Justin, oh, you're not keeping that guy down. That guy, you don't think that guy had a good time? Sure. I mean, listen, it might not have been a great day in the office, but you're not keeping him down. He's going to come back.
Yeah.
And knock out his next guy. You know what I do like in the corner work? Trevor's like, you got to, you know, slow it down. He's like, how much slower do you want me to make? Yeah, that's funny that he's like, he mentioned that. Justin said that. How much slower do you want me to? So he was really trying to keep it in reserves. But I mean, just Khabib was just overwhelming.
He's a machine. Yeah.
Overwhelming.
Yeah. I hate to see him walk away. It's so rare to see a guy that dominant and a guy who's not just dominant with the record, but like you said, how many rounds has he lost? And they did that whole thing with the greatest pound for pound ever. And again, that's just fun chat. But it's much as Khabib is a great champion. And I mean, I still put Jones above anybody because he's defended 15 times. You know, there's guys on his level, I think, even though he's had closer fights than Khabib did, he defended 15 times. So,
yeah, well, listen, he's in that great category of one or two guys. You know what I mean? So he's right there. And, you know, before I forget, because we're just talking about corner work, Lauren Murphy's corner deserves a nod. I'd like to get their names, if possible, to our crack team of non-detectives. Guys, if you can get that. Do you know why, Jimmy? Because that was first of all, I thought that fight was really good. I thought I thought Lauren Murphy was on point.
Yeah.
And Lilia
Shakarova.
Yeah. You know, she was talking about, listen, and I understand you want that positive mindset. I understand that. But you cannot, it's almost bad karma if you start just saying, hey, I don't, Lauren Murphy who, basically? I'm just thinking about Valentina.
Well, she should retire.
I'll tell you right now, Valentina is not thinking about you right now. No. All right? She might be thinking of Lauren Murphy. She might be saying, okay.
Yep.
I'm on notice, but don't how, like, it's, listen, I don't, listen, it's not, I don't care who says it. It's wrong. It's disrespectful.
Yeah.
And Lauren Murphy wasn't having it. And let me tell you,
she wouldn't even touch gloves with her. She wouldn't even touch gloves in the beginning of the, she's like, I had no feeling about this until I heard her say that. I liked her. And then it just clicked something in Lauren Murphy's head. She was fucking fuming.
I like her style. And I like the fact that her corner man, what were they saying? Get the body lock, get the pummel, get those double underhooks, you know, get the underhooks, get the body lock on her. Once she got that body lock, Jimmy, woo, it was, so he's like, I not only do I like proper advice or like advice that I can say, all right, yo, that looks like it makes sense. But then when you see the fighter execute it and it leads to a victory.
Yeah.
That's why I'm bringing it up, Jimmy. It stood out in an amazing night of fights that stood out to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Obviously, our buddy Walt Harris, Alexander Volkov looked good. He looked really good. You know, he's a really, like, I didn't realize he was 6'11". He's a giant. And he looked better against Walt Harris than he did against Greg Hardy.
And he looks like, he reminds me of Ivan Drago. No, I like that. And, but you know, listen, we love Walt Harris. It looked like a similar shot. Was it a liver shot?
Kick. It was a straight kick. Yeah, it was a brutal.
Because it kind of had the same reaction as our buddy, Caitlin Chuhagen, where it's a similar reaction because it's just like, ah. Like, you don't want to scream. You don't want to yell out. You want to have a poker face. But, hey, listen, man. They get you. They get you with that. That's like a button. It's like, ah. Not like that. No, actually, it's nothing. It's not like that at all. They didn't do that.
It was like the first time I saw that was it was this. It was Mirko Krokop against Bob Sapp. You remember how that fight ended?
When he kicked him
in was a kick like that. And he just, like, you could feel, it's almost like no matter how tough you are, that shot gets people to make the I'm a little kid who's hurt face. Like that area of the body, no one can take that. I think Bob Sapp is the first one I ever saw that. That reaction to our Krokop kicked him. Ty Tuivasa, by the way, our pal Tuivasa,
he
ended that 3-fight skid.
Oh, shit.
Looked very good. He was a good dirty boxing up against the fence. And again, it's been talked about before. Bestroof just doesn't use a jab, and I don't know why. With his length, I don't know what it is about. Is he worried about being taken down? Like, I don't know why he doesn't use a jab because he has such long arms. I guess he tries to use his legs almost as a jab. But it gets him into trouble, and it gets him up against the fence a lot. And that's what happened to him, this fight. And congrats to Tuivasa.
Man, I like that, man. That was awesome. Good job, Ty. That was, yeah, he was game. He looked game. And I like the way he was keeping his head position with the underhook up against the cage. You heard DC mentioning that. It's probably stuff they worked with because DC's not a very tall heavyweight either. Like, you know what I mean? So that's, he's probably, like, because you hear DC say, look at his head positioning. And so I thought that was very smart. He didn't look just like a like a banger in there. He's smart in that clinch up against the cage. Very smart. Oh, man. That was fun. That was a fun fight, though. You know, I like the skyscraper, but geez, that was you know, you got to feel good for Ty to get that, you know,
after three losses. Yeah, that's got to be a tremendous relief. And also, by the way, Phil Hawes against Jacob Malkoon. Jesus Christ, that first, what a devastating. I think that was the guy's UFC debut, because they said it was the second fastest middleweight debut knockout in history.
And the other guy, Jacob, he trained with, I believe, Robert Whittaker and him. Yes? I am 90%, 95% sure. And they were saying, oh, it's, you know, they're not surprised. It's about time that he got in there. He's finally in there. Ah, that's a rough one. You know, it sucks when you don't get to show. It's not the ending. It was, The ending was, the beginning was the ending, but it's that you don't get to show anything. That's the worst part of it. You know what I mean? You don't get that. You don't even get a shot. I mean, so he just, I mean, hey, but hey, listen, it's a brutal game. Philip,
pause. Pause. Yeah. That's right.
Pause. I'm sorry. That's a W. My bad. I got to make
it. Yeah, my eyes are starting to suck.
Nice. That looked awesome. Nice kid.
Yeah, from Jersey. Yeah, from Bergen County, New Jersey, which, of course, I want to see the Jersey guy win.
Oh, we got to see Magomed versus
Ankalaev against Kutalaba first round. It was just, it looked devastating.
That was rough. That was a rough one, Jimmy. That, I mean, he got him when he looked like he was going to do a back fist or a spin, and then he just came right down the middle. And it was brutal. And he stayed on him. And at one point, it looked like Kutalaba was going to survive when he protected himself for like a shot or two. But then his arms just went down and then the lights went off.
Yep.
It's a rough one. It's a rough stoppage, a just stoppage. But I'll tell you right now, he packed some heat. Magomed don't play around, man.
And Miranda Maverick.
I love his name too. I like Magomed. Oh, who are you? Imagine, like, hey, who do you got? Your agent calls you out. Who do they get me? Who is it?
Ankalaev. Sounds like a killer. Magomed Ankalaev sounds like a killer. Yeah. Zhang against Sam Alvey was a draw. 29-28, 28-29, and then 28-28. Really good fight. I was happy for Sam Alvey.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
He looked great, and they were both kind of happy with that one. That was a great fight.
It was a great fight because once you thought Alvey was going to be taken out, he started coming back and just started, like, charging him across the cage with punches. That was so much fun.
We should get him back on, Matt. He's a tough guy, Sam Alvey. He is a very, very tough guy.
Well, both Jung and Alvey, great, great, great. What a fight. Casey Kenny and Nathaniel Wood. Yep. Damn, that was a good fight. That was a bone burner. I think that got fight of the night. And rightfully so. You know, that was a hell of a fight. Casey Kenny's looking amazing lately. You know, Nathaniel Wood.
Whew. Did you see the Miranda Maverick against Liana Jojua? That elbow split her nose. She didn't want to quit. I mean, they that was a doctor stoppage. But I guess they couldn't stop the blood. She was bleeding really badly, but she really didn't want to, did not want that fight stopped.
Yeah. Well, listen, she's a tough Georgian.
Yeah, she is. Right? Yes, she is.
She's from Georgia. Rob's always, you know, like wishing her good luck and everything. He's friends with her. And by the way, Marab's looking like an effing beast. Aljo too. Aljo's looking sick. I don't want to say what subs the other day, but Marab got not on Aljo, but other guy during some training. Marab got like eight subs of a particular sub, and I ain't gonna talk about it. It was fucking, and on some of my black belts too, which I'm like, what's going on here? Anyway, it was awesome. It was fucking awesome. He's looking. I'll tell you,
yeah, good
guys are looking good. Yeah. It's exciting. I'm excited.
We would be negligent, Matt, if we didn't mention the co-main event. Well, you know, once again, Matt Serra. A tremendous job.
Stop it.
Tremendous job of picks. And it's hard to pick against. I incorrectly picked Cannonier. But again, Cannonier has looked, I mean, you know, it's like betting against the tank. He's looked great. He's looked fast. He's fought well. His leg kicks have been devastating. And he was having effect against Whitaker with that as well.
You hear what happened to his ulnar nerve? I'm like, very sure he said ulnar nerve. I hope he did. Because it's not the same. Maybe it's... Because I saw his arm in a sling, and that would make sense.
Hey, man, I'm not going to cry to see Whitaker. If I see Whitaker and Adesanya run it back, I still think Adesanya can get a decision out of that. But it's like you forget, oh, yeah, Whitaker's the next champion for a reason. I mean, he's a smart, really great fighter.
Oh, let's get the actual quote, Jimmy.
The
if you want to do it, you want to press on that?
The kick he threw broke or fractured my left ulna. The very first kick. So I'm going to get this in the first round. Oh. You wonder how much that affected his performance. I mean, obviously, and again, you can't take anything away from Rob Whitaker. He was so good. He's such a good fighter, and he's such a smart fighter. And, you know, how could you bet against Robert Whitaker? But you didn't.
Robert Whitaker is such a martial artist in a sense where, like, he's real, like, I seen him like in a jiu-jitsu gi match somewhere online.
Sure, sure.
I'm like, oh, look at this. He's intelligent. And he's got his hands down low, and then they come up high with that jab. He's got that like that karate bounce. And he's a unique guy, man. He went in there confident. And I'll tell you right now, Jared was confident as well. So I was really intrigued to watch. And then as it was going, I'm like, wow, man, there's a reason why this guy beat Yoel Romero.
10 straight rounds, yeah.
Jimmy, I don't know if we should open this can of worms right now.
It
might have to
be. You open it, my friend.
I can't wait to tell you about my new virtual reality.
Oh, you got rid of what you had.
No.
You added to it.
This is what I did. I went on I don't usually, guys ask me to go on podcasts a lot. I usually don't because I don't want to get, listen, you don't want to make people sick
of you. No one's sick of you, Matt. No one's getting sick.
I mean, listen, so I went on something called like, what is it? Coffee and VR or something. Like, I don't know. It was these two nice guys,
so.
This guy, Tyler and this other ginger guy. Well, they're rendered reality. Oh, okay. That's them on Instagram. But they're like some nerdy guys that and they're nice. Okay. That's my people, you know? And they like, look, Matt, come on the show. And now I went on the show. I had a good time because I talk about the stuff that you hate me talking about. Like,
I'm always happy when you're happy.
So So I went on this show and they were telling me about the, I got the Vive Pro.
Yes.
You know. All right. But I'm telling you, it's
stupid, ridiculous.
No, it's awesome. But it's more of the fact that it's like on and off. Like I gotta wait sometimes for the headset to get right. I try to get a download another game. I can't turn right. What the fuck is that? Anyway, and sometimes I have like sensors in my room. Like, you know what I mean? You probably seen it over your buddy Anthony Cumia's house. You got the sensors up on the wall. Anyway.
No, it's mirrors and cameras over Anthony's bedroom.
Listen, just hang with me for 2 seconds. Listen,
I'm with you.
So this thing, Jimmy, Oculus Quest 2, it's a wireless.
Sure.
Fuck you. So I can take it to Vegas when I go to Vegas.
You can.
I can take it to the fights when I want to go to the fights and be, I'm in quarantine. Yeah. Jimmy, listen to me.
Oh, sorry.
Don't answer the phone. Jimmy, I know you might not want to listen to this. I told you to watch Ready Player One. It's just, almost like that.
Okay.
In this game. So I went out. These guys told me about this thing. And then I read some of the comments, which I don't normally do. Right. And all the guys were happy I went on there, the nerds. And they're like, they're nice nerds. They're my people. And they're like, oh, he's got to get that. He's got to get it. Guess what I did? It was a shitty day out yesterday.
You got it.
Right to Best Buy, Jimmy. Oh, did I go to Best Buy? And not only did I go to Best Buy, I got the Oculus Quest 2. And you have to have a Facebook account to set it up, which is a little weird. But
whatever. Why?
I don't know. I don't want them spying on me. But the cameras are in there. They track you in there. It is the most amazing experience I've had so far in VR. I love my Vive. I'll still play it. I'll play my standout Battle Royale on that. But there's a new game to me, Population One, Pop One, how they put, you know, they call it in in VR talk.
Yeah, it's fast.
When I say I'm playing Pop One, just, you know, be like, oh, he's playing his VR.
Yeah, Population One.
What? That's what my, listen to me, Jimmy. You'll see, like, my wife took a video of me yesterday doing it on my Instagram, and you see me climbing the wall, and you flying. Picture like a battle royale with a squirrel suit. So you can like jump from a building. It is so much fun.
Do you really feel like you're flying?
Jimmy, look at my, go look at my Instagram after this. And you look at me fucking, I don't look normal.
No.
I feel bad for the wifey. You even hear her saying, I gotta look at this. Like, come on, look what I gotta look at. Hey, Jimmy, remember before yes, I was asking about Lauren Murphy's corner guy who's giving me great advice?
Yeah, it's her husband.
What's that?
It's her husband, Joe.
It's Joe Murphy.
Oh, I didn't hear you ask that. I knew that. I would have told you that.
Joe Murphy, that's a husband. You didn't recognize him with the mask on.
Sure I did.
Oh, you just didn't. Why didn't you tell me?
I did. Yeah, you know what it was? I forgot you were asking. I was distracted.
I don't know whether to believe you or not. But listen, no. This is the thing. I like to give credit where credit is due. And I'm sitting here about to get into, listen, that coach must really know his fighter. He better. It's his wife. Listen, good job, Joe and Lauren. Way to be right here. Ortega is here now. Let's talk to Brian Ortega.
Looking for a new home or you want to save on your current mortgage? Visit rate.com and you could get massive savings with Guaranteed Rate, the official mortgage partner of the UFC. Rates are at historic lows and you could land that dream home or refinance to potentially cut your current payments in about 15 minutes. Visit rate.com today to get started with Guaranteed Rate. Equal housing lender subject to credit approval. Savings, if any, vary based on a variety of factors. Restrictions apply. Company NMLS ID number 2611. NMLS Consumer Access. You put in the work training at the gym, on the court, at the track, wherever you go, you push your body to the limit. Now maximize your results. Discover how to unlock your inner champion with Thorne's High Performance Sports Nutrition Line. With the most comprehensive line of NSF certified for sport products on the market, Thorne is the unquestioned leader in both quality and innovation in sports nutrition. With pre-built fitness bundles like Thorne's Training Bundle, you can jumpstart your training and fitness routines and help take your performance to the next level. Don't trust your body to anything else. Choose the supplement brand with the extensive third-party testing and the highest level of certification recognized in pro sports. Choose Thorne, the official sports performance nutrition partner of the UFC. Visit Thorne.com and use the promo code UFC10. That's T-E-N for 10% off. That's promo code UFC10 and you get 10% off. And Matt and I get the credit, and that's all that matters.
Ah, oh, there he is.
Hey, Brian.
Brian, what's up, man?
Hey, have we really not talked to you in almost a year? Why do I think our prep sheet's wrong? Has it been since last December we haven't spoken to you?
It's probably been a while, man.
You've been MIA, though. You've been off healing up and that kind of thing, no? It's been so long, I feel.
Yeah, I was gone for a bit, man. I was rebuilding myself and everything, so kind of just wanted to stay away from the limelight, basically.
You must have felt incredible. I mean, after, what was it? You're 14-0 and you dropped one. And it's always interesting how a fighter will respond to that. Cause some guys it's very hard. I don't think I've ever seen a fighter respond more effectively than you did. It was incredible. I mean, at what point did you realize like all this time off actually meant something and worked?
No, I mean, I knew it was working, you know, I felt better. We were setting up so many things and, they were working, and all of a sudden, it was like, now I just got to get out there and prove it myself that I can do this. So, no, I mean, that was it. You know, I went out there and showed myself, basically, that I did it.
I loved seeing, just like I said with Jorge Masvidal, with Mike Brown showing that knee before, and then he used it in a fight. Everybody's like, fuck, that wasn't a coincidence. I love seeing you backstage with your manager, Tiki, and you're showing that elbow. Wow. Was that in the arsenal before he fought Yair Rodriguez, or did you guys see that and go, I can make that work?
No, we saw, obviously we took something from every fight, right? And we go, okay, he doesn't like spinning elbows. Or he doesn't like elbow. Elbow was his weakness, right? That's what put the zombie down with the Yair fight. And if you look at my fights from when I fought Tavares, I used a spinning back elbow and dropped him. When I fought Max, I used a spinning back elbow, but it didn't have much damage on him because I did it wrong. So I've been doing it. I had a timing for it. And now that I'm working Muay Thai and I've been training with Kevin Ross and all these guys, they're just like, yo, this is the real spinning back elbow. And I was like, oh shit, okay, let's go for it. And I started learning it more and training with these guys, and it paid off.
Almost at the buzzer. He almost did it again. I'll tell you right now, if that would have landed, it was almost in motion, but you had the presence of mind to stop, right? I mean, right at the bell, at the last round. I thought you were going to hit him with that.
When I took the step to like the back step, and then right as I went to the pivot, I heard the bell. And then so it was like, it's almost like I've done it so many times in practice where like I know I'm going to hit it and I don't do it. So I have that, like, you're going to go, but you stop
show it.
Reflex, I guess, right? I'm present in the moment. I'm not like, there's nowhere like I'm out of control, you know, like I'm in control the whole time. So when I heard the buzzer, it was like, yo, I put my hands up to the ref. Like I didn't hit him on me. Like,
it was like, exactly. That's a good presence of mind. It's not like a Hail Mary elbow. You know what I mean? It's you know when to hit that button to execute it, the timing on it.
Was that 50-45 for all three judges? I mean, that was a because he's so great on his feet. And it was stunning how he just couldn't figure out what to do. Maybe he was, I mean, obviously the idea of being taken down was on his mind. But I mean, I don't think I've ever seen him completely unsure of what to do. That was really, really dominating.
Thank you, man. Thank you. When I said rebuild myself, I meant it, you know?
Well, dude, shit, man, you showed it. You know what I caught afterwards? And now it makes a lot of sense now that I think about it, because shit, man. Well, I started off with a loss, but it's got to be a lot different when you're on that you got that momentum of not having any losses. And then the second you get a loss, it could really surprise you what comes out of some people's mouths after a loss. And now this is what I sensed from your after fight. I'm not going to quote you, but it was basically the people that stuck with you, the people that left you, you know, basically that kind of thing, right? I'm summing it up, but I feel you, because it comes at you from the weirdest angles and from people that are normally so cool.
Because it hurt, man. That shit hurt, bro. That shit hurt, man. Yeah, I mean, I had people that were around me for a long time, man. You know, and even after one loss at the top against the best guy at that time, I got the things I got for it, and the words that came out of some people's mouth. I was like, wow. I go, holy, like, damn, what happened to ride or die? Yeah.
Were they things that they were doubting you, or do they things where you're like, wow, this guy doesn't want to stick around?
It was just, I mean, I don't want to even want to quote the stuff, because I don't want to, you know what I'm saying? I'm not even trying to quote that person or the stuff. But it was just basically, you know, I don't know. Without, I can't even say it. You know, it's just.
But it's
stupid.
It hurt you.
It was almost. Yeah, it was like, yo, like, you failed me, and what are people gonna think of me while I'm in the fucking gurney? You know, I'm like, wow. Okay.
Oh shit! Oh, I thought it.
It was deeper than that, man. But yeah, that's kind of like just a little picture for you. You know.
It's wow. It's sad when it's guys that listen, it's worse enough. And I've said this before. I used to go to a certain like GNC all the time. This is back when I fought BJ Penn, this ages ago. And this nice guy behind it, he's around my, a little smaller than me, the guy behind the counter. Nice guy. I used to like to see him. Nice. Oh, what are you fighting? I lost to BJ Penn, Brian. I came in the next day. I'm like, and it was a close fight. He goes, can I just tell you something though? Can I tell you? He goes, I just felt in that third round, you just didn't want it enough. And I go, dude, just give me your fucking protein bar right now, you motherfucker. Give me my protein bar. I want to kill this guy. He goes, oh, you don't want a constructive criticism? I'm like, you're a fucking cashier. What the fuck are you doing? telling me, Brian.
I could have dealt with that. And I have dealt with it a long time. You'd be surprised at the amount of patience I have.
Yeah.
When it comes to that, man. Trust me, man. I had people come and tell me, like, all kinds of things, man. Like, then you're like, wow, like, you really just came up to me and told me some shit like that. And it's just, some ended up in fights, but my homies defending me, you know? But it's me saying, like, guys, just like, it's not that serious, let it go. But once they start fighting, I'm like, hell yeah, fuck it, beat his ass. He doesn't
You could use it as fuel, though, don't you, Brian? You could use that, I mean, Oh, like I did. I mean, looks like you did.
I did.
I mean, you never looked better. I mean, that's a phrase they throw out there.
Yeah.
But I mean, a guy like Korean Zombie to do what you did each round was something else.
No, man. Like I said, I'm with Tiki. I'm with Paul. I established a legitimate team, you know, like strength and conditioning, nutrition, sleep schedules, athleticism-based things, you know, like, I mean, you name it. I went over there and did the things I knew I should have done a long time ago. But I was too loyal to do it. You know, I was too loyal to make these switches up and hurt some feelings. And then when I lost and they turned their back on me, I was like, I go, you know what? This is perfect. I go, now I can make these moves without feeling any guilt, right? Without feeling any like, damn, I let these guys down or I turned my back on them or whatever. It was like, all right, it was confirmation to yo, you've been right. And this is just another way of like the universe or whatever you believe in telling you, like, let's make that change and let's make that move now.
I don't want to make any assumptions. I'm sorry, Jimmy, but I can tell you, you're still very tight with Henner. I can tell you're tight with Henner.
Yeah. We're cool as fuck.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
He on the airplane before you go to Abu Dhabi, you take a test yourself and you send it in and then you get the results and then you're allowed to fly to Vegas to quarantine. He passed that test because I didn't tell anyone, but basically my whole team got coronavirus while I was in camp and I was training by myself for like three and a half weeks. We were doing like Zoom shit or like FaceTime, like, yo, go do this, go do that. So I was like, cool. Like, as long as I have the structure and the plan, I've always worked out on my own anyways. So I don't need you guys to push me. I can push my damn self. And then, by the time these guys all got fixed up and everything and everyone took their tests, we were good. And I did so we kept doing tests to see my progression and my progression just fucking leveled up. But going back to Henner, so he was one of the persons that had COVID, that caught COVID, but then he was good. So when he took the first test, he got to Vegas because he was negative. In Vegas, he took another test and it came out positive.
Well, okay. And did they take another one after that or no?
And then, that's what the thing. They're like, you only get one test right here. If you fly out right now and you get to Abu Dhabi and you test negative or positive, you're 2 weeks. You're locked up for 2 weeks in a separate like location, isolated from everyone. So not only are you going to miss a fight, but I'm going to go home and you're going to have to stay an extra week.
Yeah.
So for him, it was just like, is that a chance that you want
to
take?
I got you. No, you were talking about people close to you. I knew you guys were cool. I just wanted to let the audience know it's not Henner. Henner's cool.
Okay. Yeah, no.
And you didn't get sick though, right? You didn't get it.
No, man. Everyone thought I had it because I was in contact with people and everything. And everyone, he's like, for sure he has it. And I thought, I was like, fuck, for sure I have it. And then I did a test. Negative. I did another test, negative. So there's different types of tests that you take. We went all the way down to like what's called the PCR test, which is like the most legitimate test you can take. Like the PCR test, some of these give you like negative reads, but this one is for sure like the percentage wise that it's like accurate is amazing. So I went over there and took three of those tests. And then it was like negative, 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 negative. I kept hitting negatives. And I was like, yo, you motherfuckers want me to have this shit or what? Like, I already tested negative.
What's your blood type? Do you know? Is it O positive? I hear good things about that.
I have no idea.
Do you know what it is? No.
I have no idea.
I wouldn't know but for some reason I do. I don't know. But I heard O. Did you hear anything about that, Jimmy, about the blood type?
No.
I heard O positive is good, but I don't know shit, guys. Don't listen to me.
I heard, when you're a kid, when I was a kid, I used to hear my blood type and I remembered it like it was my address, but I forgot it.
I get shit all the time.
Dude. Now, was that your game plan to stand with him for five rounds or did you, as it was going, just go, this is going really well? I mean, because he's a pretty devastating striker and you didn't even really need to spend any time on the floor, which was so amazing. Did that game plan change as it was going on?
I mean, the game plan was perfect, you know? There were some things I felt I didn't have to do because the stand-up was going so well. But it was – the whole game plan was go in there and basically it was chip away at this guy on all levels. That was literally the whole code of this trip was chip away.
And what do you think about, I mean, obviously I don't think any decisions have been made, but you know, I mean, Max has fought Volkanovski twice, so it looks like you're next in line.
That'd be awesome.
And have you heard anything about a possible time frame? You know, how are you feeling physically? I mean, it was a 5-round fight.
I feel great. My legs were sore for about like maybe 5-6 days just from the shin to shin action. But I mean, right now I'm walking around, I'm running around. I decided to take 1 week off, and you know, usually everyone wants to go back in the gym and say, no, I'm back at hard work again. Like, this doesn't stop. We're like, yo, let your body heal from this, relax for a week. Like, don't be your own worst enemy. Right. Take 1 week off. No, I'm not even surfing, man.
You laying off it?
No, I went lobster diving though.
Wait, what? Lobster diving?
Yeah, I caught like 13 lobsters like at nighttime.
What are you catching with?
Your hands.
You were fucking grabbing lobsters with your hands?
Yeah, you have a flashlight at night, and then you have your fins, and then you swim all the way down, and then you have a good glove, and you just kind of just slowly creep up on them and just snatch them up.
They're trying to get you? They're trying to fucking...
No, they're the ones without the... They don't have claws.
Oh.
Just their tails have little spikes on them, but with the glove, you don't feel it. And if you grab the top of it, you're all right. They just squirm a lot.
How far down were you? How many feet?
Not much. Maybe like 15 feet, 20 the most.
Oh, my God. Not much. I'm not made for the ocean.
At nighttime, it's scary, though.
It is, right?
Daytime, it's scary, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So what?
I you look around, like, I wonder where you at, motherfucker. Like, you're probably looking at me.
So they hunt at night?
It's just easier to catch them at night, man.
And how many are you? Like a group of 3, 4, 5?
It's a group of like 4 or 5. Some of them are on the boat fishing. Some people are on the boat fishing, and then I'm over here just free diving. I need to be in the ocean at least.
The ocean. So even if you're not surfing, you're in that ocean.
I love it, man. Yeah, I love it. I haven't surfed in a while just because I've been just too caught up doing everything. You know what I'm saying? It was like the whole COVID, and then the beaches were closed down over here for a long time.
That's right, too. Yeah.
It was just even when the water turned blue over here, I forgot because of something. It was like at nighttime where like the waves would crash and it'll look all blue. It was like neon blue. It was beautiful, but like they had the beaches closed. I still snuck in the beach and like went in the water. Like I had to go in the water for that.
Oh, that sounds like it's something out of a movie.
Do you get sucked out by a riptide? Riptides, for some reason, I can swim too. I can stay afloat, but for some reason, they've been scaring the shit out of me for the last few years. I haven't gone near the ocean. Do you ever get pulled out by one?
Yeah, I've been pulled out. You just let it pull you out.
And then you got to like swim back.
But you swim back at an angle, like away from the riptide, you know? Wow. So like if you stay in that riptide and you keep swimming, you're kind of just messing yourself up. But if you let it shoot you out, and then you kind of, once it shoots you out, you change the direction, like more at an angle, the way where at least where I go, you go at an angle. It's just a little further swim, so don't panic, but you'll be all right.
Oh, don't panic.
Yeah.
I'll be way better in my poker face in the cage than the ocean. You don't want to see that. You lose all respect for me. Just screaming.
I've had friends. There's these rocks that we jump off of. And we swim back to shore, right? And then I have had a lot of friends that are like, yeah, I know how to swim. I know how to do this. I'm like, listen, bro, like, don't jump off these rocks if you don't know how to do this. And then they're like, they eventually jump off the rocks and then they start panicking. But the waves crashing, like, will mess you up because they want to go back to the rocks for safety. But these waves smack them dead ass across these rocks. So I've had some friends, you know, like I've heard worse stories about surfers doing that over there. And like they get messed, like hospital, like they have to come pick them up. But luckily some friends just have some scratches and some falls, but they got lucky. The waves weren't big. If you do that on like big, heavy days.
Well, how do you
have you done that?
The rocks. What do you do? How do you get to the rocks?
Well, it's a whole thing. It's called like, you just walk it.
Oh yeah.
The rocks go all the way to the ocean. Like they're out there. They were placed there a long time ago.
It's like a pier, right? Like a rock pier almost. It goes all the way out.
Yeah, it's like a rock pier, basically.
Jimmy, don't do it.
No.
Well, if you're over there, don't do it. You got nothing to prove.
If there's no waves like summer, you can do it because then you can just jump off the rocks and go back on the rocks. But when there's waves, it's like, you know, you chase the adrenaline. You're like, just do it while it's crazy right now.
Oh, man.
Well, Brian, it's congratulations, man. It's good to talk to you. And I really can't wait for a fight between you and Volkanovski, which has to be next. I mean, logically.
Phenomenal fight. Styles make fight. That's a hell of a fight.
That's a hell of a fight. He said February, from what I seen on the internet, was Volkanovski said he'll be ready in February. So we'll see what happens exactly, right? We'll see what Tiki goes out there and talks to Dana or whoever he talks to, and we'll see what day comes up or where and when, right? It's the big question.
Well, hopefully we'll talk to you before then.
I'm sorry, Jimmy. A hell of a fight, though. I can't say it enough.
Yeah.
In a fight where everybody was like razor thin on the fence, a Korean Zombie's looking so dangerous. And that, I mean, and you know, coming off, especially you came off a tough fight with Max. I would love to see you fight for the title, dude. I mean, you deserve it.
Thank you, man. Thank you, bro. We put in a lot of work and this is barely the beginning of me and this new team.
Well, it was incredible, and congratulations, because whatever you're doing, it worked. Keep doing it, and we'll definitely talk to you before the next fight.
Thank you, guys.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Listen, Jimmy, I said it once, I'll say it again. Oculus Quest 2, the wireless experience.
Yeah.
I'm loving it. Population 1. I don't want to grow up. How about on my Instagram, Longo chimes in. What does he write, Jimmy? Do you know what he writes? Grow up. Why does he got to mess with my fun?
Well, he's looking out for you.
You know what Jimmy?
What?
You said that. You said that like you're backing him up that I should grow up.
No, I'm not saying that.
I'm in a house of women. I gotta have my own time.
Yeah, you do.
The Oasis, Jimmy.
Understood.
But anyway, I'm going to be, teaching some jiu-jitsu, jumping on, playing some games. But anybody who wants to get on there, Population 1, I'd like to squad up. It's not just for kids. Don't make me feel like I'm going through a
Absolutely,
crisis.
Not at all.
You know? It's all fun and games, so I make millions on Twitch.
That's right.
Jimmy, what do you want to plug, dude?
Honestly, nothing. I got the Chip Chipperson podcast, and go to chipchipperson.com for great merch like this for Chipula and Jim and Sam in the morning. That's it. And that's all I got.
Yeah, dude. SarahBJJ.com if you want a Kimura Savage shirt. And I'm on Cameo. So, I mean, hey, might as well get something for the kids. You know what I mean? With the whole Cameo thing. Jimmy, yes, I will see you in a couple of days. Last week I had it wrong. Today I have it right. It's Monday. I will see you Wednesday.
Yes, buddy.
All right, Jimmy. Hey, listen, and congrats to Habib on a phenomenal career.
Yeah, amazing.
We love him, and we are his biggest fans.
I hope he changes
his mind. I'm his biggest fan.
You are.
You rooted for Justin. But listen to me.
I did.
Great fights all around.
All right. I will talk to you soon.
Bye, Jimmy.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.